Hi, this is David Flowers, Senior Pastor at Grantham Church, an intergenerational, convergent, third-way congregation with the Brethren in Christ U.S. and located in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. I want to thank you for listening to our podcast and for following the sermons that I and many others preach at Grantham. This is a free podcast and it'll always be that way, but if you'd like to give and help further the work we're doing for the kingdom, we'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to do that, you can do that by going to granthamchurch.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Whether you're a member of our church or you're listening as a parishioner, it's our greatest desire that you would encounter Jesus and be changed by the good news wherever you are. Anyway, God bless you, and I hope you enjoy the podcast.
Well, good morning. My name is Becky Owen, and most often you'll see me hanging out with the youth here at Grantham, but I also bop around and like to teach in VBS and Maundy Thursday and various other things. But today, it's a joy to be with you on this all-age Sunday. Can you raise your hand if you are in 6th grade, 5th grade, 4th, 3rd? Yep. How about 2nd, 1st, kindergarten? I see some jokesters in here. Yeah, let me see those hands. Wave them. Where are you guys? Yes. All right, you can put your hands down. When Pastor David asked me to preach on this Sunday, I was super excited because I knew you were going to be here in the room with us today. So, the next 30 minutes or so, I've got a few things planned, so keep your ears open. We're going to be, and this is for adults too, we're going to be drawing or writing on some post-it notes. Did you get some sticky notes in your bulletin? If you didn't, there's some extra ones along the pews. We're going to be moving around to different parts of the sanctuary, and we're going to be doing a little experiment up here. So I'll invite those who want to. You don't have to be sixth grader or younger to come up to see the experiment, but I'll be inviting you up at that point. So, but let's get in gear here. First, I want you to raise your hand if you have ever forgotten your lunch or your lunch money when you went out the door. Oh, I saw some hands go up really quickly. This might happen more than once. Okay, raise your hand if you have ever forgotten something important. Maybe it was show and tell day at work or at school and you forgot it. Maybe you have show and tell at work. Maybe you forgot your laptop. Your cell phone stayed on the counter. Have you ever forgotten something important that day? Yeah. Let's think chores. Have you ever forgotten to take the trash out or clean the bathroom or feed the pets or water the garden? Yeah. All right. And now, have you ever forgotten that God is with you? Have you ever forgotten God is with you and you didn't need to be afraid? Yeah. Do not be afraid. That is something that we have been talking a lot about this Advent season. And leading up to Christmas this year, we've been looking at places in the Bible where we see these words, do not be afraid or fear not, pop up. And they appear a lot. And I think that's because we need a lot of reminders. I feel like I'm making a lot of extra noise. How's that? All right, thanks. So see if you recognize any of these examples from the Bible. When God made a covenant with Abram, he said, do not be afraid, Abram. I will be your shield. When Hagar and Ishmael were out in the wilderness in danger of starving to death, God sent an angel who said, do not be afraid, and he provided for them. God appeared to Isaac and said, I am God, the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. And when Moses brought the people out of Egypt and they saw Pharaoh's army chasing after them, Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord, the deliverance the Lord will give you today. And when Moses handed things over to Joshua, he said the same thing. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Well, these are examples from the Old Testament. During Advent, we heard a lot from the New Testament, like when the angel came to Zechariah telling him that he would be the father of John the Baptist. He said, do not be afraid. When the angel came to Mary to tell her she would be giving birth to the Savior, Do not be afraid. When the angel came to Joseph to say, it's okay to take Mary as your wife, do not be afraid. And when the angels visited the shepherds to tell them that the Messiah had been born, do not be afraid. All right, so we get the idea. When an angel visits, don't be afraid. But I've not been visited by an angel. So what about the everyday things? That's when I get afraid, right? Things come up that make me afraid. What about at school? Do you ever feel fear at school? Are you ever afraid at work? How about in the lunchroom? Or even at home? Do you know what? I don't need anyone around me to make me afraid. My own thoughts will drive me to fear. Well, Jesus had something to say about that. Do you remember when Jesus said, do not worry? Don't worry. God will care for you. Sounds an awful lot like do not be afraid, right? All right, here's one last example of do not be afraid, but it has a twist at the end. See if you catch it. Remember when Jesus calmed the storm? Jesus and his disciples were in a boat crossing over a lake in the night, and a storm came up out of nowhere. Their trip must have been going pretty smoothly up until then because Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat. So the disciples are fighting to keep the boat afloat, and they woke up Jesus, screaming for help. And after getting up and immediately calming the wind and waves, Jesus said, why were you afraid? He didn't say, do not be afraid. Now, when a teacher asks a question like this, I kind of want to hide behind the person in front of me and hope they don't call on me. Why were we afraid? I don't know, Jesus. We weren't supposed to be, were we? You see, by this time, the disciples had hung out with Jesus for a long time. They had heard his teaching. They had seen his miracles. They hung out with him at meals. They heard him teaching even along the road and in the temple. And by this point, I think Jesus probably thought they would have gotten this trusting God thing down by now. But even with all that, they were still learning. They still needed reminders. And if we're honest, we need the same reminders the disciples did. Why were you afraid? Did you forget that you can trust me? Well, it didn't seem to concern Jesus that the boat was rocking. He was concerned about the attitude of the hearts of the disciples in response to the rocking. So today I want you to step inside that boat with Jesus and reflect on the past year. Did the boat of your life rock much this year? Or was it smooth sailing? Most likely you had a bit of each. When your boat was rocked, how did you respond? When you got hard news at work, when you were afraid a friend didn't want to be a friend anymore, when you got news from a doctor that you didn't want to hear, when you got a lower grade than you anticipated, or maybe when you were afraid that kid would just never stop bugging you. It's easy to respond with fear, and that often turns into anger and worry and anxiety about what's going to happen. The what-ifs fill our thoughts and our attention. Well, Jesus wants us to trust him in those moments and not to worry. Well, that doesn't mean that when we trust God, the boat stops rocking, though. Often it doesn't. But when we surrender these fears and these worries to God, he delights in giving us peace. It's a gift he loves giving over and over and over again and deeper still. So the boat may still rock, but God is faithful. And we can trust that whether our boat makes it through the storm or sinks on the way trying, that God is with us, God loves us, and he is faithful. He remains the same, a rock. Now let's think about when you had smooth sailing this year. Your boat made some good headway. The wind was filling your sails. You had clear visibility. Things were going well. How did you respond in those times? God cares about the attitude of our hearts in the good times too. So, were your feet still standing firmly on God, the rock, giving thanks for the provision he was giving? Sometimes when things are calm, it can be tempting to slip one foot off that rock, thinking we can make it through the waters on our own. It looks easy enough. And when we rely on anything besides God, though, we're not standing on firm ground anymore. We start to sink. We might not realize it at first, but it happens over time. And we're tempted to trust in ourselves instead of God. Now, I'd like to pause and think about this concept for a bit. Can I see a show of hands? Have you ever played the game, "The floor is lava"? A couple of you have. Yes. I'm going to invite my volunteers to come on up and help me with this. For those of you who are not familiar with this game, it is typically played in the living room with couches and pillows, and you have to navigate your way across the floor without touching the floor. Okay. So today, we are going to pretend that this carpet up here is lava. And I asked a few people to come help me, but do you know what? A lot of them are either traveling or sick. And so, if you're at home and you feel up to it, grab some pillows, make a path across your living room. Oh, let's see. All right, we're going to make the first one. This is a warm-up round, all right? This is pretty easy. Can you demonstrate for us? You get to pick what path you take, okay? You want to go first? She's avoiding the lava so far. Yes, good job. All right, go for it. Ooh, she skipped some. Awesome, beautiful job. All right, now let's see. We're going to spread these out a bit. And we're gonna take some away. Now let's see how you do this time. Go ahead, Gloria. Do you wanna start? You can start here. Oh, you touched the lava! Okay, come on out. When you touch the lava, you're out. Longer legs this time. Oh, no, you didn't make it. All right. So, what are we doing here with "the floor is lava"? Come over here, girls. If we think about these stepping stones that came across the floor as our pathway through the lava, as that's God, the rock, going with us wherever we go. But sometimes we took some away. That's when we don't go to God. We don't put our trust in God. And so we're maybe not reading about his truth and his word anymore. Or we're not going to him in prayer. Or maybe we're not gathering together with other believers for encouragement and support. In between these rocks, all we have to go on is our own strength. And that didn't go too well, did it? All right. Well, in Joshua 1:9, we read, "Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." God goes with you wherever you go, through whatever comes your way. And that doesn't mean it's easy, but we can trust in the goodness of God through it. So, let's think about this idea of the rock. I'm going to turn this microphone on for the girls. Who's reading first? You're reading first. Okay.
The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my savior.
My is God it is on? Let's try it. Hold on, Gloria. Let's see. I see a green light. Go ahead.
He is my shield.
Start up here again.
Okay. The Lord is my ark, my fortress, and my savior. My God is my ark, in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety.
For who is God except the Lord? Who but our God is a solid rock? He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken.
He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground, a rock, and steadied me as I walked along, gave me a firm place to stand. Thank you, girls. Trust in God, the rock. He is able to carry you through it all, and he delights in giving you peace when there's storms. And when there's not storms, let's be honest. As we look back on 2024 and prepare to head into the new year, I want to give you an opportunity to ponder and surrender where your feet are standing. Where are your feet? Are they on the rock? Or are they slipping into the lava? Often our fears try to suck us in and squelch our trust in God. So let's look at those fears in the face this morning and surrender them to God. What made you anxious this year? We've talked a lot about fear this month. What fears came up in you this year that you came through or maybe you're experiencing right now? Things you're anxious about. Could have to do with basic needs in life, getting food on the table. Do I have a job? Do I know how I'm going to be able to get where I need to go? Or maybe these are relational. The fear of losing a friend, of not being accepted, of not making the cut in an audition or a tryout or a college application or job application. For kids, this is for you too. I want you to write, this is when we're getting the post-it notes out, to write or draw a picture of what scares you. What are you afraid of? What causes you to be anxious? Maybe it's just the fear of not being understood by other people. We're going to write these on post-it notes, and I want you to ponder them. Ponder how can you trust God, your rock, when you are afraid or anxious? What can you come back to every time so that your feet stay on the rock? And I want you to bring those fears forward today. This is when we move around the room. I want you to actually bring your post-it note and stick it on the altar and surrender that fear to God. Give it to God to handle. Let him hold it for you. So we're going to take a few minutes. On your own, you can, if you don't have post-it notes, we have some along the aisles. I'm sure you can probably find one. So I'll give you a minute of silence to reflect. When you're ready, just start bringing those up and putting them on the altar. If you don't feel able to come up, find someone who's around you that might need to get some wiggles out and bring those fears up and stick them on the altar. And kids, as you're coming up, if you want a closer look at what we're going to be doing up here, come on up and sit in the front on the floor here in front of me. Is that where you guys want to sit? That's fine. All right, I have a question for you guys. Do you know what it means to steep in something? Have you ever heard that word, steep? To steep in something, not like a steep hill, but like to steep in something. Do you know? Have you ever made tea? Anyone? Yes? Good. So when you make tea, you steep the tea in the water change it from water into tea, right? Well, we're going to do a little bit of that today. We're going to do it two different ways. Just like the floor is lava, I'm afraid I'm going to trip on our floor. Okay. Let's see. I'm going to take a tea bag. I'm going to stick it in the water. Cool. All right. Can you see it? Do you need to come closer? It's really hard to see. What happened? Did anything change? Confusing looks. No. The water, well, it didn't really change much in color. Do you think it's ready to drink? Can we have a tea party now? No, I don't think so. Wait. There's directions on the box. Let's read. Yeah, come on up. Okay. Oh, this is fancy. A fine tea deserves a little care in its preparation. Use one tea bag per cup. Add freshly boiled water and allow to steep, there's that word, for 3 to 5 minutes, depending on how strong you like your tea. Add milk and sugar if desired. I desire. Stir before serving to enjoy the flavor, the aroma, and the refreshing taste of your tea. Okay, guys, this is not just one cup. This is actually 8 cups. I think we need 8 tea bags, do you think? We might not need that many. Do you think we need that many? Should we go that way? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, here we go. Let's put them in there. Oh boy. Let's see. All right. I see a difference already. Oh, but wait. Oh, I forgot my timer. Well, could someone start a stopwatch or something? I go the full 5 minutes. I don't cut corners when I make tea. In fact, I'm going to stick this one in too. Okay. Well, we've got a few minutes to wait here. So I want to read something to you that reminds me in the Bible about steeping. You can sit down if you feel like it. You're welcome to stand. Okay. In Deuteronomy, we find Moses talking to the people as they are God's people, as they're going to go into the promised land. And do you know what? He gives them a ton of instructions and reminders. Nothing new. Nothing they haven't heard before. But he wants to remind them of how much God loves them and how they can live to show the whole rest of the world that God is love to them too. Not just God's people, but to the whole world. Okay, so he says this. He wants them to keep these words with them all the time. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Did you catch all those things that we're supposed to do with the word of God? These are the things, the words that God gave them. Let's walk through it. So, first, what do we have? Oh, we're to keep them on our hearts. Point to your heart. Your heart is where a lot of things come out of, right? This really motivates what we do and say. So first and foremost, he wants God's word on our heart. Okay, I know it's not very polite, but can you point to your parents? Where are your parents? Yep. This next part says, impress them on your children. That's the parents' job. Okay, you can stop pointing. The parents' job is to keep these, because typically the parents know the word even better. They've been living with it even longer, right? And so passing it down to their children, impressing it on your children. Okay, now we're supposed to talk about it. Point to your mouth. Talk about it when you sit down at home. Let's see, when I'm at home, we sit around the table to eat. We sit to watch TV. We sit to play games. These are all times we should be reminding each other of God's word. And you might be thinking, what, when we're watching TV? Nah. But actually, what we see, we want to reflect that. We want to see, does that line up with God's word or not? Talk about it as a family, right? Let's see. Oh, we're still talking about it. When we walk along the road. Do you guys walk along the road very much? We drive on roads a lot now, don't we? So maybe when you're in the car, that might be more present in your lives. Or when you're waiting at the bus stop, right? Or grocery shopping. The word of God should be with you. When you lie down. Talking about it again. At our house at bedtime, we talk about our day. We talk about what went well. We can praise God for, give him the honor that it's due. And then there's lots of times that there's something that we can't carry very easily ourselves, and we want to surrender that, just like these fears, to God and ask for help. Yeah. Oh, is that 5 minutes or is that a phone call? 4 minutes? Oh. Okay. We'll wait one more. And how about when you get up? Do you know the first thing I do when I get up in the morning? I go to the bathroom. The bathroom is a really good place to post God's word. And we've done a lot of memory work in the bathroom in our house. We put memory verses up on the mirror. No one's going to miss it. Everybody goes to the bathroom, right? All right, how about this tying business around your hands? Point to your wrists. That reminds me of a bracelet. Have you ever seen bracelets that have like peace or trust or something on that, or maybe colors to remind you of the story of God and a bracelet? All right, here it is. Bind them on your foreheads. Do you ever bind words on your foreheads? No, I don't either. But they did, actually. But maybe a necklace might be a little bit more of a translation for us. Same thing as a bracelet, right? And now write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates. Get to write on the door frames. What? Think about your house. I bet that's 5 minutes. Just a minute. So I have an awful lot of doors in my house. Do you? I've got the front door, the back door, the garage door, the door to every room in my house. There are doors inside doors because there's closets, there's medicine chests. So many doors to be writing on. Point to the door you came into today. How did you get in? We have a lot of doors. You know what? We are going to be doing something to those door frames right now. But first, let's look at our tea. We did not check our... Oh my goodness. This is really changed. How has this changed, guys? The color. It's really different. Let me see. Oh, it smells too. Not that one. Yes, it smells like tea. It looks like tea. And if we had a taste, it would taste like tea, wouldn't it? We steeped the tea in there. Now, I want you to think for a minute. These tea leaves in here, girls. Think of that as the Word of God. And how, if we steep in the Word of God, does it change us? Yeah. It changes the way we look because we act differently, right? It changes the way we, does it change the way we smell? I bet we smell better to people, not in like the actual smelling way, but in the way that they like being around us because we are showing the love of God when we are steeped. So you can have a seat one more time. I want you to think about this. The longer you let the tea steep in the water, the more the water tastes like tea, right? So the more you steep in God's word, the more you taste like God's word. So I challenge you to be thinking about this idea of steeping. And do you know what? We've got God's word in the Bible, but we also have Jesus. Did you know that Jesus was called the Word of God? Elliot knew. The Word of God. So through his life, the way he lived, we have the Word of God through Jesus too. All right. I'm going to ask you to go sit down because we're about to do some steeping. So I want you to get out those sticky notes again. You should still have some left. If not, there's extras. And the whole point of steeping the tea for a full 5 minutes is to make a mighty good cup of tea, right? The point of steeping in God's word is to make us mighty good disciples of Jesus. We want to smell and taste and look like Jesus. So when we brought our fears up and laid them on the altar, we gave them to God to take care of. But to fill that space, we've taken those fears out, we've handed them over to God. To fill that space, we need to do some steeping in God's word, to fill that space with God's truth, to be reminded of God's truth. And so today, I challenge you to come up with some verses from your memory. Where do you go when you're afraid? Where do you go in the Bible when you need encouragement? Think of verses about God. What does God taste like? He's loving. He's faithful. He's our shepherd. He's our peace giver. Fill in the blank. There's so many things, so many attributes of God in the Bible. Think of those verses. Write them on post-it note. Write verses about who you are in Christ. You're loved. You're forgiven. You are redeemed and treasured. So many places in the Bible you can find these truths. You might have things in your head from memory verses you remembered from different classes or VBS. You might have songs and jingles that you've learned scripture through. We have a lot of those in our house. I challenge you to write that on the post-it note. And it's actually, when you learn something by song, it's way easier to remember it if you actually sing it. So feel free to sing it. I'm going to have you get into groups and sing it to your group while you write it down on your post-it note. These are all ways that we can steep in God's word. Now, you might remember a verse, and you're like, I remember this phrase, but I don't remember the rest of it. I give you permission to get out your cell phones and type that into Bible Gateway, and it'll come up with the verse so you can write the whole thing on your post-it note. But this is an all play. This is a communal activity. I want you to share with one another. So I'd like you to form small groups to be brainstorming, what are the scriptures that I know, that I go to? Because it might be the same, but it might be different for different people. And once you've written some down, share them with one another. And then we're going to post them on our doorposts. We're actually going to walk and slap them on the door frames of this room. So feel free to use more than one post-it note. Write more than one verse down. All right? And families, I do encourage you to go into separate groups so that you can share ideas with more people. All right, so circle up with some people around you, spread out, and start steeping.